First, we'll do this Harinam initiation, then say something in glorification, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But actually, it will be wise to begin with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As we're told, Guru Dham, Granta Dham, Gaura Dham, Nama Dham, Uda, Bhakti Dham, Buri Dham, Bande, Bhakti Vinoda Dham, Sada. What are the gifts of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the world? Everything. Form of the Krishna Consciousness Movement that gave us all of our books, all of our songs, revealed the abode of Mahaprabhu, Radha Dasyam as an aspiration, service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. What we told Guru Dham, he gave, and to distribute all of this. I mean, this is the wealth that descended along with the melted heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because it's a plane of consciousness. Gurudev always saying, heart to heart transaction. That's what this is. It's not data transfer or information. You can get information or data anywhere. It's not an academic study, a curiosity, but heart to heart. From whose heart? The heart of whom to who? Or whom? Tene Brahma Hrida. Says in the first sloka of the Bhagavatam, into the heart of Brahma. Right? Because we're told, what is Brahma Gayatri? Om Bhur Bhuva Sat Tat Savitur, etc. Varenyam, Bargu. That the flute song of Krishna entered the eight ear holes of Brahma, means, and into his deep heart's core, and out came the Brahma Gayatri. That was his song in response to hear the flute song of Krishna entering his heart. Everything is there, actually. It's not just a sweet sound, but anavriti shabda, says in Vedanta, sound, through sound you can get everything. You can be liberated from material existence, you get everything. Mention also, nam sankirtan kalo parama upai. In the Kali Yuga, you get everything from the Nam Sankirtan. We're told favorite song of Saraswati Thakur. It's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, of course, the title of which is Nam Sankirtan. That's Yasomati Nandana Brajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana, etc. But title of the song is called Nam Sankirtan. Singing all these different names of Krishna. But the holy name of Krishna, Guru Maharaj, it's peculiar. It appears to be finite. Krishna, or two syllables, Krishna. But the sum total of the infinite is within these two syllables. And not abracadabra, you chant this and magical things happen. Because without heart, it's not the real sound. That's the point. We used to think, when we first came in connection with Krishna consciousness, they were like these magic words you would say. And you say them over and over again, and make sure you concentrate, and all. And then like some kind of magical transformation would take place. And I don't want to dismiss that wholly, but that's not what we heard from Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada was very avuncular or grandfatherly, the way they tell the child, and if you just do this, you'll grow up and be big and strong. They'll really grow, yes, you know. But obviously you have to do some other things along the way, more than like eat your potatoes, you know, to develop and to become a fully developed person. So Guru Maharaj, he would tell us like, yes, but what is the quality of the Krishna Nam? Nam, and he quote, Jagadananda Pandit, favorite disciple of Mahaprabhu, who wrote the Prema Bibart, in which he says, Namakar Bahiroi Bhattanabu Kabunoi. Just the syllables, Krishna, that's not the holy name. And go, wait, this is confusing. One minute you're saying it is, now you're saying it's not. So what does it depend on? Heart. What is heart? Heart's a general word. Heart means consciousness. And what do we mean by consciousness? To reference the point, the deep heart's core. What's in the core of your consciousness? That's what Krishna's interested in. Not in some superficial approach or absent-minded mumbling. We're taking the holy name and we're thinking of so many other things. Prabhupada would mention in the 10 offenses, that's also one of them, you know, absent-mindedly taking the name. Guru Maharaj said, and that happened, he said, then it would be better to stop, do some seva that concentrates your mind, and then return to the nam-taking. But not to just, because you have to complete a particular number, I've got to get this done no matter what, and I'm completely distracted or thinking about somebody else, but I've got to achieve this number. Not like that. There's no quality there. That Krishna is not impressed or attracted. So the what is in the heart, and that Krishna knows. In one place, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, addressing the issue that someone say, well, there's so many things says about the name of Krishna. You chant this holy name, you get this, you get that, you achieve this, you achieve that. But I've been taking the holy name for so long, I think earnestly, sincerely, and I'm not getting that. You know, Gurudev, who would always bring up some fine point, would say that to Guru Maharaj, like, we've seen so many things written in the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the scriptures and all this. Any examples of that? You know, then we can say, well, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the very high devotee, but Bhaktivinoda in his song, saying when he takes Krishna Nam, what are the effects? And I'll mention that. But before, so Vishwanath says, yes, Krishna, just by, you know, you earnestly go, hey, Krishna, then Krishna can give you everything. And he said, and now I'm paraphrasing, he says, but Krishna knows you're capable of better. And he likes deep heart. The deep, it's a substance that he's addicted to, is what's only located in the deep heart's core. And Krishna is so addicted to that, that anything less than that doesn't draw a full response from him. It's like when the coach sees the aspiring athlete and they do something good, but he knows, don't overpraise, don't overcompensate. Yeah, that's the word. Right? Or remunerate, but compensation. Because they'll think they don't need to go further. So they give some acknowledgement, you're going in the right direction, but they know they're capable of much more. And it's funny, that there was the Winter Olympics this summer in Korea, right? And a girl from Izhevsk won the ice skating medal. I don't know if you know that, right? Induleka is from Izhevsk. Yeah. So this girl, 15 years old, she won. But when she went to the coach, even though she's very talented and very good in every way, she's, you know, homesick, and also the discipline was great. But everyone thought, yeah, but she has so much talent, you know, they'll just have to accept her, she'll be a prima donna. But the coach lady said, if you're not ready to surrender to me and follow my instruction, you can go home right now. I don't need you. And the girl burst into tears. You know. And the woman said, and it's true. She said, really, yeah, you're talented, you're all this, but if you're not going to follow my directions, then go home. Then the girl thought about it more and more and decided to stay. And then she won the gold medal. So when Gurudev went to Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj said to him about, like, are you ready to follow my instructions and not those of your mind? And Gurudev, who's very honest, and also we know a little humor. He said, "I was young, so I said yes." He said, "I couldn't at that moment estimate how difficult that might be, you know, throughout your whole life. But I said yes." And we all do, right? But and what is expected from us is not that we're perfect. Adhere. If we were, that would be another story. But we see, even in that regard, even whom we consider perfect, Saraswati Thakur approaching Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all of our Guruvar, everyone. Krishna went to a Gurukula, Krishna and Balaram. Why does the omniscient need an education? You know, or learn discipline, how to be a disciple. He's showing that he and Balaram, they went in the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni, you may know that. So we're all in that position. And as I told you yesterday, Guru Maharaj at 92 was saying, "I am a student and I shall forever remain a student. I'm not interested in becoming a finished professor, knowing anything and everything." He said, "I'm eternally a student." He was saying this at 92 and sincerely, earnestly. And he said, and why is the position of the student best? Because student can make mistakes, can be corrected, can improve. It's a dynamic position. He said, that's the better position than you're pretending to know things you don't, or everyone, don't back yourself into that corner. Always be the student. And really, we are. We say, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. When we talk about being the servant of the servant of the servant, it's not just a clever saying or some kind of poetry. It's reality. There is a hierarchy of servitors. Radha and Krishna. Like we were talking the other day, Lalita Bishaka, because Lalita's Radharani's appearance date, Lalita Sakhi. Then, who's assisting? Lalita's the leader of all the Sakhis, the girlfriend's principal of Radharani. But then the Manjari, the junior girls, are led by Rupa. And don't let their age deceive you. Right? They are supreme, but this is a very enchanting way that they appear. There's like that picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gurudev was looking at it one day and he said, and to think that he is a 14-year-old girl in the spiritual world. You know, so there's that, how he appeared here, but there he's in another form, so beautiful, so enchanting. But then Rupa, the leader of the juniors, Rupa, always you hear, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Hoi Bejara As Chaitanya Charitamritam Kohe Krishna Das, Rupa Raghunath, Rupa Sanatan. Then, who are their servitors? Now, we already said, first group, Lalita Vishaka, next group, their assistants, Rupa Rati, next group. We can understand, oh, servant of the servant of the servant is not just a clever saying, but reality. And we're happy about that. As Das Goswami said, if there are no superior servitors surrounding Radha and Krishna, what would I be doing there? What would be my interest to enter that zone? It wouldn't be real or legitimate or realistic. So we're told Guru is Asraya Vigraha, that shelter-giving personality. And we're told, even though we may see so many human traits, qualities, characteristics in the agent, that is not our focus. It's on the objective aspect. But the subject aspect, meaning the spiritual substance that's passing through the agent to us, that's how we recognize Guru. Because once someone said to Guru Maharaj, like at the end of their statement or question, they said, I mean, after all, the Guru is a man, you know. And Guru Maharaj said, the Guru is not a man. And he spoke on Guru Tattva, the spiritual principle. It's divine agency descending through a man or human agent. But Guru is Krishna, but manifesting this way. It's something very peculiar. Guru Maharaj said, there are some things that are repeatedly difficult to grasp or can even be baffling. Shiva Tattva. He's not Vishnu Tattva, he's not Ajiva Tattva. He's Shiva Tattva, unique, you know. Dham Tattva. Appears like it's in this world, but it's not really of this world. Again, what do we see? Many things that make us think, could this be Vrindavan? It's there, and those things are there to make you think, to draw some contrast. Guru Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Shiva Tattva, Dham Tattva. And we can say Nam Tattva too. How is it in this sound that Krishna is fully present there? How can we appreciate that? So sometimes devotees, they like, you know, I'm not dismissing this possibility. They're having some kind of divine experience, you know. But if we look carefully at the writings of Rupa Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then we see like, when they talk about the effects of the holy name, and it's not just like, I feel better, I feel good, isn't this ecstatic, nectar Prabhu. Rupa Goswami say, Tunde tandavini ritim vitanute tundavali labdiye, karna krodha kadambini gatayate karnar budhevya spriham. It's in his play, but remember, this is mystical. He's writing plays that are real, they're reality. So it's not like something happened and then you're writing a version of that. It's as if what he's writing happens in real time. It's very mystical to understand. They're not just stories that he wrote that we find charming. It's reality. He can write reality. There's a plane where that's possible. So in there, two of the devotees there in Vrindavan, they're walking through Vrindavan, and they start talking about the holy name of Krishna, sharing their feelings about that. And one says, you know, sometimes when I'm taking the holy name of Krishna, it's so sweet, the taste, that one tongue is insufficient. So my heart expresses the aspiration to have millions of tongues to address all of that sweetness. And the sound is so beautiful and enchanting to my ear that two ears are insufficient. So my heart aspires to have millions of ears to capture all of that. So then we say, where is that a reality? In what world can that sort of appreciation come from the heart? That world, if it exists, and we believe it does, then we would rather serve those of that world. And if in time they bring, through that service connection, they take us to their domain, we're more than happy with that, or even the prospect of that. So we're not taking the holy name to squeeze some juice out of there for our own amusement. Right? That is the wrong approach. Rather, under the direction of Guru and Vaishnav, Sadhu and Shastra, we're doing this. And the more proper attitude is saying, like, who am I? What is my qualification? But the Guru, Vaishnav, they told me I believe in them, and they told me to do this. I do it. Say, but be that as it may, this order has come to me, I try to do the best I can. Maybe sometimes I'm not doing the best, but it's the order of Guru and Vaishnav, I follow that. And I believe in them. And they tell me that through service, gradually in time, this will become more and more meaningful and substantial. And I believe that. That's all. Right? I'm their aspiring servitor. whatever may be said about devotees, I don't consider myself that. But they've mercifully given me an opportunity to serve them. And that I take seriously. Right? And they're allowing that opportunity to come to me. That's my good fortune. That is our approach. Gurudev, you can say, his japa, everything, is serving Guru Maharaj. Maybe cleaning his room, washing his clothes. That, he's focused on that. He's not thinking like, oh, now I've got to go do something to develop myself. In fact, we're told kirtan, according to Guru Maharaj and Jiva Goswami, who we celebrated yesterday, said kirtan is an indispensable aspect of self-development. And that means either in pronouncing the name, singing, etc., or discussing Krishna consciousness, representing it to others. Some of the most wonderful conversations of Krishna consciousness ever took place between two people, not necessarily in a group situation. The Ramananda Sambhava, you read in the Bhagavatam, so a group of sages get together. Sometimes it's 60,000. That's like not usual. It's not like a stadium full of sages, you know. But can be. But usually it's one or two or four or a little group. And they're like, and they're not neophytes. This is what's interesting too. The greatest realized souls get together and have discussions. Like the, we're told, Guru Maharaj described it this way. He said, once Bhaktivinoda Thakur was taking the holy name. You know, he chanted every day. Every morning, 3 a.m., he'd be taking the holy name on his metal bench. Like we have benches. Sometimes we think the wooden bench is a little severe or austere. His bench was a cement one. Maybe he had a cushion. I don't know. But cement bench. And he'd be taking the name and loudly, and there was a devotee who lived nearby, and he'd like wake up, and he thought something, you know, he said, some man is like crying out to like his beloved who is so far away, and this pitiful, pathetic, you know, and that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking the holy name. That's him. We don't imitate that. We just hear about that and bow our heads with folded palms. But sometimes he's taking Krishna Nam, and this is again according to Guru Maharaj, he said, and going for a walk in the subtle world. Right? Like we go for a walk sometimes here. So beautiful, Thailand, with all the champa trees and the, you know, and the lotus, everything. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, he is going for a walk in the subtle world, taking Krishna Nam. And he came unto an assembly of which there was Yamaraj and the Mahajan, like Bali Maharaj was praising yesterday. And they're having a discussion, a Bhagavad Gita class. Just think, a Bhagavad Gita class by the Mahajans. They don't think like, oh, I know Bhagavad Gita. When Prabhupada asked me once, I was preaching to Indians, I said, but Prabhupada, sometimes they say, oh, I know what is Krishna. Prabhupada, he said, that is their disease. They think they know Krishna. Jnane prayasam udapasanamati. So they're discussing some, you know, a very fine interpretation section in the Gita about how we should see a devotee who sometimes does something wrong. Actually, it's a very important thing. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhag. But it's ananyabhag, means an exclusive devotee. How should we see this? Do we really think it's a fault? Is there no fault? You know, like when a policeman shoots someone, is he culpable? We see sometimes yes, most times no. Or the soldier, you know, there are many things to consider. But when they're doing this, they see Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And they think, here's an Ananya Bhakta, a pure devotee. Let's ask him to explain it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has the capacity to explain the Gita to the Mahajans. Right? Who, you know, Narada, what is it? Narada, Swayambhur, Shambhu, Narada, Brahma, Shiva, Bali, Vyasa, it goes on and on. You know, he can give Krishna consciousness to them. Right? How exalted he is. But so, and that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he talks about the holy name, he says, I'm taking Krishna Nam, and sometimes some mysterious color or form comes. Because right? It's Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Nam means the sound, Rup means form, Guna with qualities, Leela, participation and pastimes. So he's saying, from the sound, some color, form, then I look more closely, and he said, then I see it is Krishna, and he forcibly takes me into his pastimes. This is in Sharanagati of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's also in the, and you should read this, the Search for Sri Krishna chapter called The Nectar of the Holy Name. Read, there's like Service of the Holy Name, Nectar of the Holy Name, these two chapters you should read. 10 offenses are given there. I'm gradually mentioning them, actually, in this talk. So, then what we'll think, like, oh, will that happen to me? Or when I take the... That's a very high stage. That is not something... And again, and it doesn't happen to someone who wants it to happen to them. Because then that's the inverse of what this is. Then Krishna would be an object of our experience and we'd be the subjects. And we're trying to enjoy him or squeeze some enjoyment out of him or the holy name. But rather the inverse is true. We are the objects. Krishna's the subject. If he wants to reveal himself to us, that's his prerogative. If not, we're okay with that too. We think he knows everything. Yoga Maya is surveying everything, knows my heart. Whatever needs to be revealed to me will be revealed to me. I don't have to worry about that. I just need to concentrate on being sincere. And as I said to you, that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 6th chapter, which is sometimes called the Yoga chapter, concluding with Krishna say, Yogi namapi sarve sham madgate nantaratmana. Of all the yogis, who's the one who's dear to me? Who's thinking of me deep within the core of his heart. But Arjuna says, what if I don't become perfect in Krishna consciousness? There's no guarantee, right? We're talking about first initiation, later second initiation. We're all admitting there's no guarantee, and you're saying such a rare thing to achieve. What is the likelihood of someone like me possibly having that outcome? And he says, oh, and I could have spent my time developing myself materially. So I don't achieve materially. I don't achieve spiritually. It seems to me like I'm losing out in both worlds. Arjuna's very clever. He's asking questions on our behalf also. So it's interesting that he would bring that up, which shows he's thoughtful and he's thinking about this like intensely, deliberating on it. Because he knows that's what we will do. That's our position. And Krishna says, it was one of Guru Maharaj's favorite lines in the Gita, Nahi kalyanakrit kaschid durgatim tatagacchati, which I'll tell what it literally means or suggest, but I'll begin with how Guru Maharaj interprets it. And it's so... When I heard it, it gave such great hope to me. It made me feel like in the midst of so much hopelessness or lack of qualification that like, oh, there is hope. Because Guru Maharaj said, what it means is sincerity is invincible. The sincere will be victorious. So he's saying, all you have to be concerned about is whether or not you're sincere. Not about others or can I do this, can I do that? Will I be? No, are you sincere? I mean, earnest. If you're sincere, Guru Maharaj would say, if I am sincere, then no one can cheat you. Only you can cheat you by not being honest. So it's a question of being sincere and earnest. that will help us through all of this. As Gurudev wrote me once in a letter, just a line, as though he was reading my mind, quoted in the Upanishads, and he said, Durgam patastat kavayo vedanti. The kovida means those in the know, the great sages. They say the spiritual path, durgam means obstacle, is covered with many obstacles, so you got to be careful along the way. And what did it say? It's like the razor's edge. And you're saying like, they had razors then, you know. So what does it mean? When you learn to shave, you know, what is it? When you've got a razor in your hands, no matter how long you've been doing this, right? Because I'm now like 66 and I think, I can still cut myself. If I start thinking about something else, go too fast, because I want to get it, many things. Every single time, I have to. You can't be complacent when you're shaving with a razor. Every time I have to remember, like, don't go too fast, don't press too hard, don't even like, ooh, you know, like, and just slow down, you know. Like, and still, I can cut myself. And it's interesting. They're saying, "What's the spiritual path like?" It's like that. There's not some point where, like, just smooth sailing, you know, no problem. No, you've got a razor in your hand. Be attentive, thoughtful about what you're doing. So, but then, the part I thought that is applicable to you and others like you, it goes back to more like the literal meaning of the verse. Nahi kalyana krit kaschid. Kalyan means auspicious. And what Krishna is telling Arjuna, no, Arjuna, you don't understand. The auspicious nature of Krishna conscious activities is such, you carry it with you. It doesn't leave you, even if you don't complete the course, so to speak. But there's never any course completion in that sense in dealing with the infinite. You take it to your next life, your next life, your next life. You're in this progressive, going in a progressive direction. And then he says, and you go like, oh, so you mean, well then, what would the next life be like if I didn't achieve perfection in this life? And he says something very interesting. Suchinam srimatam gehe yoga brashta sanjayate, that you'll take your birth in a family of devotees. Right? So mother is devotee, father is a devotee. That's not an accident. That indicates someone who's been cultivating Krishna consciousness for more than one lifetime. Which I get is very reassuring, but also a cause of concern. Because one should think like, oh, well, that's good to know. So what am I going to do? You know, to take it to the next level. That's what we think. The idea like of finishing, Guru Maharaj doesn't like that. You're dealing with the infinite. There's no finishing. It goes on and on and on. We shouldn't be discouraged by that. So you should be encouraged by having devotee mother and father, but then think like, oh, so let me organize my time in such a way for the maximum cultivation of Krishna consciousness and next level, go to the next level. That we like. Next level means, you know, progress, as Guru was saying, going in the right direction. So, but to do that, we have to accept the advice of Guru and Vaishnava. They are well-wishers, right? And we know our default mode is to think that we know what is best for us. You know? So that's why Prabhupada signed every letter, you're every well-wisher. Gurudev talks about affectionate guidance. We have to believe that Guru, Vaishnava, Sadhu and Shastra have our best interest at heart, even more so than we do. And we're advised like how to be able to maintain Krishna consciousness based upon appreciation of other devotees. You can't do this on your own. Or say, oh, I have the process and I can dismiss everyone else. That's just not a proper understanding of the Krishna world. The Krishna world is populated by devotees. Devotees are qualified as those who are dear to Krishna. It's not possible to dismiss those who are dear to Krishna and make progress toward Krishna. And then there's... But we need to understand the hierarchy too, which we get from Sanatana Goswami Brihad Bhagavatamritam. How to understand gods, goddesses, the hierarchy of the spiritual world. And we're told the devatas, they're supreme the way that a mayor is the supreme in a city, or the governor is supreme in a province, or someone else of state, but who's ultimately supreme is Krishna. They derive their authority from him. And inasmuch as they have, not to dismiss them either. They wouldn't be devatas if they didn't have some backing from Krishna. Right? Then we talked about Guru or Avagya, how to see Guru, Acharyamam, Vijanimam, Navamanyeta Karchit. Krishna says, understand, I'm the Guru, and I choose the agent to whom to reveal myself through. But it's really me who's dealing with you. So if you focus on the humanness and dismiss the divine subjective aspect, you're only, arresting your own possibility for development. Then the scriptures. Gurman said, although they may appear in the form of a book or digital media, actually it's active, conscious substance. You see, really, you're supposed to give the garland to the book before the reading and offering oneself as an agent, saying, if you choose, use me as a medium for some revelation. So the scriptures, they're not just ordinary books. It's like real-time live streaming reality. But how to extract from there, that's principally the seva of acharya. Then, what else? Not to interpret the holy name. That's up to the guru varga. It's not that we're... now we can go online and search anything and find some peculiar or amusing, that will all be not only not helpful, but could be detrimental or even offensive. We listen to our Guru Varga about this. And Krishna's in your heart. He's quite capable of revealing himself to you as appropriate. And so that's interpretation. And what we find it said, as I mentioned Rupa Goswami and elsewhere, about the holy name, it's not hyperbole or exaggeration. It's Krishna himself. So we're told in some places, like side effects of the holy name, not even its principal function. Side effects, like, one Krishna Nam can relieve you of more sinful activity than it's possible to commit. Side effect. Like, not, you go, oh, then I'd like to start that right away, that course. No, not like, that would be to be insincere, using the holy name to serve a lower purpose. But it's mentioned, incidentally, these are the side effects of the holy name, that nothing compares to it. So there, you can give charity, perform penance, austerities. So in one famous verse as Taksha Sha Vishalana Vishudabdi Stitashime Harma, that's one. Brahmananda Bhavedesha Chetparadha Gunikrita Naiti Bhakti Sukhambodhe. Oh, that's another one. But anyway, it says, oh, go koti danam. You could give 10 million cows in charity, offer a mountain of gold in sacrifice, like for certain sacrifices, you have to have some gold. So they say, what if you gave a mountain of gold as your sacrificial offering? Or lived at a holy place, the confluence of like tree being, the Ganga, the Jamuna, the Saraswati for millions of years. It's saying all of that taken together would not be equal to 1/100th the merit of the side effects of chanting Krishna Nam. And then we're told, this is not hyperbole or exaggeration. It's nothing for Krishna Nam. But then we're cautioned also, but then don't get too clever thinking, oh, then that would mean, if I hear you correctly, I can do wrong things or commit sinful activities, then I just pick up my trusty mala and take Krishna Nam and I'm white as Siberian snow. No, that would be to be insincere. Again, using the holy name for my lower purpose instead of offering myself in service to the holy name for his higher purpose. So there's not, I said, nothing compares to it. It's the supreme. There's not something better that you can do than this, right, in terms of a spiritual practice. But we know it takes many forms, like chanting japa, the kirtan, and also preaching. This is all under the heading of kirtan. Nam sankirtan kalo parama upai. And not to give to the faithless, that means there has to be some minimal belief that I'm not perfect, but I hear what's being said by Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav, and it's resonating in my heart, and I want to go in that direction. That's the minimum requirement. And lastly, Guru Maharaj gives an example that saying some men, they're rowing a boat in the dead of night, and then in the morning, when the sun rises, they see, despite all their efforts, they're sweating, they're exhausted, the boat didn't go anywhere because it's still moored to the dock. So we're told, we all have attachments, but don't allow yourself to be so attached to one particular thing that obstructs your spiritual progress. I remember Srirashrava Prabhu, Vaishnava Maharaj, and I, we found Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor in Calcutta. His name was Krishnananda Tarkatirtha. And he used to sit in front of a wall of books. He'd read them all, could quote them. And we would go to him for treatment. And he'd like say, do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that, don't eat this, take this at this time of the day, that, and he'd give some course, some advice, do's, don'ts, and then these herbal medicine. And I noticed that sometimes, like, I'd be taking them, but, like, not getting cured. And I would think, like, oh, what is his qualification, and What does he prescribe for me? I doubted him, you know. But then I thought, had an inner dialogue, and I thought about it more carefully. And I thought, but are you actually following what he told you? And I said, well, yeah, I didn't. He said, take it at this time. I didn't take it at that time. He said, take it this way. I didn't take it that way. He said, don't eat these certain things, but I really like those things, so I kept eating them. And then I realized I wasn't actually following what he said, but I took the medicine, Then I thought, I have an idea. Why don't you follow exactly what he says and see if that works? So I did, and I was cured. And I thought, he's very qualified, and he gave the right medicine. I just wasn't a proper patient. I wasn't really truly following the directions. So there's some similarity there. Sometimes devotees say, oh, I did this and I did that. And then, but you look, if you're really honest and engaged in self-analysis, you realize, yeah, but maybe there's some fault on my side. Like when Gurudev once said to me, he said, my religion is finding fault with myself, not with others. And I thought, ooh, he like condensed it into just one line. And it's so profound. He's saying, don't waste your time. Like the old saying that the dancer blames the lack of a stellar performance on the floor. Have you ever heard this? Yeah. Well, and actually the prima ballerina in Moscow at the Bolshoi, she said she knows every piece of wood in the stage, each one of them. Not just as a whole stage, she knows each board. That's why she's number one. And she's not blaming anything on the stage. So blaming the environment, other people, the time we were born, that's just a waste of time and energy. Gurwan said, the only person who is culpable is ourselves. And the sooner we realize this, the sooner you start making progress. As long as we're blaming, just wasting, you're not going to go anywhere or make any progress. When you take the responsibility for your situation, yourself, then you can start making progress. So, but that said, I think you're rightly situated, as we discussed. You've come here, and with the blessings of your father, Paramananda Prabhu, and your mother, and all the devotees, they're happy with you. They're your support group. You know, in one sense, you can't escape. Remember, in the Russian army, if you turn around, you get shot. Okay? That's just a side point. But no, it's not like that. But you consider your good fortune, like Krishna surrounded you with so many well-wishing. That's a good situation to be in. And this beautiful divine abode here. And it just means, so the only person who can ruin it is moi, me, you, us. That's simultaneously empowering and a little scary, scary in the sense, makes us more thoughtful about what we're doing. Because you can't hire someone to be Krishna conscious for you, right? Your father, he can't be Krishna conscious for you, neither can your mother or your relatives or anyone else. Although I did have a friend who hired an assistant, you know, and we talked about that in India. One of the preachers hired this Indian boy to be his assistant. And he was like so good, like carried the briefcase, and like, I was going, and you know, brahmacharya, tilak. I said, who's this Prabhu? He goes, no, he's not, I just hired him. You know, he's my assistant. I'm like, you can do that? And he goes, in India you can do it, you know. Like, but you can't hire him to be Krishna conscious for you. That only we can do. And that's why I've thought about this a lot in the last half a year or so. Because I thought, what do we have to offer Krishna, really? You just described this hierarchy of, and like, what could we possibly bring to the table in that sense? But then I thought, if, as we say, we're individuals, everyone is unique, we're part and parcel of Krishna, then that would mean, in theory and potentially, that each person has something, although it's similar to others, and there's a way of, Rupa Goswami shows how to analyze those things, the quality of something, but it would be unique. It would be something only that soul, no matter how small they were, that they could give. And we hear Krishna is interested in that. It's actually enough, you know, Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, to attract Krishna. It's such a valuable thing, bhakti rasa, that Krishna, like these flowers, we're told at a particular stage, Shraddha, Sarasanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav, Prem, that the Bhav Ankur, the high, where, like we're watching all these flowers and creepers, they grow, it takes time, they have to be cared for, then at a particular point, they flower. And once they flower, there's aroma. We're told. So when the devotion flowers in Bhava Bhakti, the aroma enchants Krishna and creates some eager. Then he's waiting for the fruit, the premic fruit of the heart to appear. So it's a very wonderful thing. And you're connected to this. And it's our good fortune to represent the Guru Bhargava, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Guru Dev, Srila Prabhupada here on this auspicious day. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's appearance. So now we'll chant on the beads and move a little bit over to here. Bring the Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Gurudev. Jai Sri Rupanuga Guru Maharaj. Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So many. Much auspiciousness in this time. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. Closer. Before chanting, you should first chant Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Then you see as I'm holding the beads here, large bead, smaller bead, you begin counting on the larger beads. Like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just listen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You count to the end. It's 108, one round. This bead Sumeru, not to chant upon and not to cross it. So then we turn around, count back, two rounds. We ask that you chant four rounds. Guru Maharaj would quote Saraswati Thakur saying, Malika Upabhashna, don't let your mala fast. It's food, is Krishna Nam. So give it food four rounds a day. Sometimes you can chant 8, 16, 32, 64, but that's unlikely. But what Guru Maharaj lays stress upon is quality, not the quantity. When the quality is there, automatically quantity begins to express. But the idea that by chanting a particular quantity is going to produce quality, he doesn't support that. And where does the quality come from? Seva, service. Rupa Goswami says, Atak Shri Krishna Namari Nabhavye Griyam Indriye. Otherwise, without seva, the name of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna are beyond approach or grasp. But sevan mukhe hijavaru, when you have a service connection, then Krishna may reveal, as Bhaktivinoda says in his songs and in the writings of Rupa Goswami, if Krishna wants to reveal something of his form, qualities, pastimes to you. But service is what makes this whole thing meaningful. And also, to reconceive yourself along the lines of a servitor. I mean, you're blessed with devotee parents and a spiritual name, but little modification we give at this time. So your name will be Shyamananda Prabhu. That'll be your spiritual name. So Shyamananda Prabhu Ki Jai. And take this Krishna Nam, serve Guru Vaishnav, and you'll come to the lotus feet of Radha and Govinda, their divine servitors, our Guru Varga, Hare Krishna. Offer some flowers, first just some flowers. You know the words? Etat Pushpam. Okay, it's simple. I'll say it, but you can memorize it. So you hold the flowers and repeat after me. Say, Etat Pushpam, means these flowers, Sri Gurave Namaha. Like that, and then offer. Here. Then this, pick up. Fruit, flowers, other things, pranami. Say, Etat. Sarvam, all of them, Sri Gurave Namaha. Then give that to me. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Gurudev. Hare Krishna. Jai Shyamananda Prabhu Ki Jai. Give Dandavat, Shastanga Pranam. And I'm going to say a few more words about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Here. Shyamananda Prabhu Ki Jai. And just sit for a few minutes more, longer. And so it's really so many things can be said. Well, as in the mantra, he revealed Mahaprabhu's birthplace. And even that, you know, everything about Bhaktivinoda Thakur is some divine pastime. When he's taking that Krishna Nam in the morning, you know, sometimes he has visions. He sees a shining city, wonders what is that. Something like here, he feels a breeze coming by. And we're told, where's the breeze coming? From a place called Nisringapoli, where they have this ancient deity of Nisringadev self-manifested since the Satya Yuga. Right? It's like 2 million years old. And the breeze comes, and he realizes Nisringadev is going to Mangalarati in Mayapur of Mahaprabhu every day. That's the breeze. That's the breeze for Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, and he's, but as always a devotee, he's not overly confident in his own estimation of things. So even though he goes to the British keep records of everything, right? They invented, maybe the French did, bureaucracy, but the British perfected it. You know, they just have like books with everything written down. So they have a map of every real estate transaction. He looks in the books and find out that there's some land and it's called M-Y-A-P-U-R in British. Mayapur. That's how they wrote it down. So he's saying, Mayapur. And he goes there and what do the people say? Oh, this land is so useless. These Muslim farmers, they're going, you can't grow anything there. The only thing that grows there is Tulsi. Not unlike this area out here, where Tulsi is just taking over. She said, well, it's called Tulsi Mandir. Yeah. So he goes, only Tulsi grows there. Yes, we tried. We can't grow anything. Only the Tulsi. So he's getting all these indications, goes there saying, oh, this is Mahaprabhu's birthplace. But even then, he seeks Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who's the senior most Vaishnava, brings him for verification. And we're told, although at the time, he's hunchbacked, cannot walk, or he's carried around in a wicker basket by his assistant, who's a very tall, strong man. carries Jagannath Das Babaji in a, you know, a bamboo, like a palki. I mean, they actually do things like that in India at the time and other places. So he brings him there. And Jagannath Das Babaji, his hair starts standing on end. There's like a Geiger counter of divine substance. And he jumps out of the basket and starts leaping like 1 meter off the ground, dancing, taking the holy name. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we can now understand, it's been verified, this is the place. Yeah. And of course, he needs someone to distribute all of this wealth. He only had like 5 or 7 disciples. And we don't know much about them, but I think it suffices to say, in general, what Gurudev would describe like simple-hearted Vaishnavas that were not, no one's indicated as being extraordinary, not to diminish them in any way, but that's not it. They're not. They realize how wonderful he is and want connection with him. So he has like 5, 7 disciples. That's it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he has this son, who's more than a son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is his, you know, distributing agent. Like, you may be a good manufacturer, you know, but you got to have somebody who understands supply line and delivery dates and all of that, like, to get your product out there. And to this day, that's true, right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like, and even Saraswati Thakur, in one sense, it's ironic he's the distributing agent because he's a recluse, you know, just like very, like, not good at dealing with people. And but then he's got Tirtha Maharaj, and he says, oh, he's the one. Through him, we'll distribute all of this. Whatever his faults may be, he's my man. You know, so, and that's another history, but interesting how everyone can has a part to play and can participate. But so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he does, like, he, in the Bhagavad Arka Marichi Mala, which is 1,000 verses from the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam's compared to a sun, right? Krishne Swadamo Bhagate Dharma Gyani Dibiksaha Kalo Nashta Drishamesha Puranako Dunoditaha. In the Kali Yuga, Krishna leaves the world. Krishna's like the sun. The whole world is plunged in the darkness. And the devotees are going, what do we do now that Krishna's left the world? It's only artificially, it really, it's been plunged in the darkness, and now the Kali Yuga is everywhere. And the verse, it's in the Bhagavatam, very beautiful. Yeah, here he says, now the Bhagavatam has risen like the sun to give illumination in all directions. But then, taking the conceit a little further, the metaphor, so we say, well, then each sloka could be like a ray of that sun, the Bhagavad sun. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur takes 1,000 of those rays that are maybe, there's gradation everywhere and everything, maybe they're more illuminating or give a particular type of illumination. So, but, and it's extraordinary. And we're wondering, like, well, why did he do this? I mean, we're very happy that he did it, but why? And he says at the end, he said, I really don't want to say how this came about. But when you're a disciple, because he's looking for some spiritual justification, if you don't offer glory to the Guru Varga, there's some fault on your part. So don't take it as a self-certification or that I'm singing my own glories or any such thing. But I would be remiss if I did not mention that one day, while I'm reading the Bhagavatam, and this is, again, why all devotees do these things. It's not just for neophytes. So every day, he's reading the Bhagavatam. Really reading it. We say, no, what does he have to read? He knows he's the personification of everything we could hope to discover there. Well, then follow what he does. Every day he's taking Krishna Nam. Every day he's reading Bhagavatam, Charitamritam, Path. That's what they do. That's what Guru Maharaj did. All of them, you know, Prabhupada, Guru, they all do this. It's not just like for the temple devotees or the new people or no such thing. Actually, they're the ones who cannot not do it, if you want to find notice a difference. They cannot not do this. It's so enchanting, so compelling. So he's reading the Bhagavatam, and where we're told, Swarup Damodar, who we just celebrated, right, Lalita Sakhi, appears to him and says, you should make a collection of 1,000 verses from the Bhagavatam, and your guidelines will be Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan. And that'll be the categories. And then he said, and you can understand the first three slokas of the Bhagavatam are Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, Tattva. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals that and saying, that was revealed to him by Swarup Damodar personally, and the order was given to him. He's saying, that's how this compilation came about. If it was said by anyone less than Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we would dismiss it out of hand as just some bogus person. But it's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So just to conclude, he's so great in so many ways. And just one little thing I'd like to say is that even the Sahajiyas admired him, the imitationists. And once the number one Sahajiya guru in Navadvip came to see him, and so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being a gentleman chair, he's sitting in a chair, offers a chair to him. Then he sees what they call 100 hands away. It's just a measurement, hands. It doesn't mean, you know, like pick your, you know, 100 meters, yards, whatever you want to say. See, Saraswati Thakur offering dandavat to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that visiting Sahaja Guru says, like, well, why does the boy do that? It's you should come near the guru within a reasonable distance and give your dandavat. And, you know, but he's from so far away, he's giving dandavat. Why does he do that? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, oh, him. He said, don't mind him. He has different vows he's taken. One of the vows is he won't come within 100 feet of a Sahajiya. And he saw you here. So don't think about it. But then another thing occurred to me, I think, like, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not 100 feet away. Because why? That man's only going to benefit by associating with him. He's not going to take Bhaktivinoda Thakur down. And for the record, neither is he going to take Saraswati Thakur down, but Saraswati Thakur is always setting example. Forever and always, he's setting example for us. So, to conclude, Guru Maharaj, he wrote the Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dvadasakam, Dasakam, and it's about separation, but not limited to. And really there we get insight, as only Guru Maharaj is so capable of doing, of telling us who is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's a line where he's saying, what Ramanuja, it's funny because it's kind of translated, what Ramanuja and Madhva gave, you know, your like givings of that quality, that's not what it says. What is really being said is what you're giving exceeds what was given by Ramanuja and Madhva. You've gone beyond them. And that's a fact. That's a verifiable ontological fact. What you're giving is superior to what was given by Madhva and Ramanuja. That's what he's saying. And other things that's very beautiful, each verse there, but I'd like to conclude with this one, where Saraswati Thakur liked so much. Sri Gauranamatam Swarupa Viditam Rupa Grajena Adridam Rupadye Pariveshitam Raghu Gunaya Aswaditam Sevitam Jivadye Abirakshitam Sukha Shiva Brahma Samanitam Sri Radha Parasevanamritam Aho Taddatum Isho Bhavan. Aho in Sanskrit means like, oh, allow, you know, it's this exclamation saying, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so what is your, the beauty of your gift to the world? What is that? Saying, what Mahaprabhu, why Krishna came down as Mahaprabhu? Only Srup Damodar really knows fully that. So anyone who knows something of that, as Kaviraj Goswami says, must have got it from Srup Damodar. Therefore, Charitamritam is built upon his notes. So why Krishna? And so it's giving it away actually in the first line, Sri Gauranamatam, Srupa Viditam. It's going to conclude with what that is. They're saying, so why did Krishna come down as Mahaprabhu? Only Srupa Damodar really knows. There's a special reason why. Say, oh, to give Krishna, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to everyone? Yes. But what is his internal, personal? You know, when people say, this is personal to me, like very meaningful to me personally. Saying Srupa Damodar knows. And that very thing is the worshipable object, goal of Sanatana Goswami. Rupadye Pariveshitam, distributed by Rupa and his followers. Raghu Gunai Ashwaditam, tasted, relished by Raghunath Das Goswami and his followers, Krishnadas Kaviraj included. Jivadye Abharakshitam, like we were saying yesterday, Jiva Goswami is protecting it, this supremely valuable thing, protecting it from adulteration, from the challenges to its legitimacy, imitationism, etc. Jiva and Baladev, Jiva Deva Barakshinam, Sukha, Shiva, Brahma, and Uddhava are aspiring for a drop of this divine substance. Asamaho Charanin Ujushamaham. What is it? Sri Radha Padasevanamritamaho Tadatum Yushova. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, your gift to the world is the service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, otherwise known as Krishna Consciousness Movement. This is what it is, what it is all meant for. That's how you come in connection substantially with Krishna. And he's saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is your gift to the world. Guru Maharaj extracted, I mean, Saraswati Thakur said, oh, who wrote this? And Goswami Maharaj said, Sridhar Maharaj. And Saraswati Thakur said, no, Sridhar Maharaj has not written this. He said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this through him. That's a way of saying, that's how perfect it is. He couldn't have written it any more perfectly himself. And he said, oh, now I feel some assurance that I may and will leave the world, but what I came to give, someone received, and someone will be able to represent me fully in the future, and that man is Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And we are in the Bhaktivinoda Paribar, according to Guru Maharaj and Gurudev. That is that how they describe this line, this aspect of the Rupa Nuga line, the Bhaktivinoda Paribar. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Avirbhav Mahamahotsabati Ti Ki Jai. What I wanted to say also, you're being welcomed into that family. Right? Sometimes Paribar means family. And you have so many God brothers, God sisters. It's good afterwards when you find give some dandavat, also your father, Paramananda Prabhu. Guru Maharaj would say, you're being welcomed into the family of Krishna. You could say, well, I was already in. When Guru Maharaj he's already a high class Brahmin. So when he got second initiation, he said, one god was, or said, well, what are you now? You're already a Brahmin. Now you're getting Brahmin. And he said, now I'm a Vaishnava. And a god said, no. Now you're being given the opportunity to become the servant of a Vaishnava. He corrected him. And Guru Maharaj liked that. So the Achyuta Gotra, that's Krishna's line. And we say Bhaktivinoda Paribar, the family, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, everyone, they're welcoming you. Srila Prabhupada would also be very happy. Paramananda Prabhu is happy. Your mother, we're also happy. After this, stay here, chant four rounds in the temple before Giriraj Govardhan. Hare Krishna.